The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Steve is getting festive, isn't you, Steve?
I am indeed. Wow.
He's in the bath with his mate and his missus. Sorry, in Bath, I should say.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. And so what, you just visit... Listen to this. This is an update, okay, on someone's Facebook. Can't judge if waking up in soaking wet clothes, still drunk at midday, was a good night. Clearly, I didn't need swimwear to jump into the jacuzzi last night, and thank God for waterproof iPhones.
I actually lost my iPhone in the bottom of the hot tub, and yeah.
Wow, yeah. Where was that, Steve? Rock and roll.
It was a work party.
Wow.
Do you know what I've discovered? iPhones are waterproof.
Mm.
I didn't know that.
Only certain ones. So careful which one you.
Yeah, right. Don't go around throwing all your iPhones.
Well, I haven't got an iPhone 1. What? Yeah. No, the missus told me that the other day. I thought, really? I started looking up. I didn't even know that. They kept that quiet, didn't they? Normally, the big thing. As far as I can remember, the last four or five updates on the iPhone, it's big, you know, massive event. Very clever, Apple, isn't it? They call it an event. It's an advert. Because they call it an event, you got local radio stations at BBC actually reading in the news a new Apple iPhone event is happening. You can't pay for that kind of advert. There are companies like, you know, Carphone, Dixon Warehouse, who will pay for an advert up to the news to get primetime spot. They'll pay for that. Then in the news, via the voice and authoritative newsreader, which you can't pay for, be advertising Apple. New event. And basically, last 5 years, as far as I'm concerned, Apple's all they've done was improve the camera a little bit. It's like it's a massive event and we've improved the camera again. That's all they've done the last 5 years. I never knew that. Why didn't they say, hey, we've improved the camera and it's waterproof? I didn't even see that.
Their TV ads running a couple of years ago were literally pushing that on everything.
Oh, were they? Okay.
There was some stuff about it.
TV advertising doesn't work. All they need to do is get it in the news, slot.
I think it was as well. It was quite heavily pushed.
Oh, okay.
But also, all the competitors do it now as well, don't they? So it's less of a.
Mine's an iPhone X. Is that?
Let's test it now.
Yes. Okay. Steve, get in the jacuzzi with your mates.
They do say it should only go in clean, fresh water.
So yeah. Right.
Where's that? Like, where do you get that from? That's ridiculous. Well, where's clean, fresh water these days?
Well, no. If you get it. Like the rain or something, salt. That's fine. Yeah. But like probably in a jacuzzi where there's chlorine and or the sea where there's salt, probably not the best. So I think the water still goes into the phone, I think. It's the components. They've like coated it with like waterproofing. I think that's how they've done it.
Yeah.
But also, it's probably you can put it in for like, you know, 10 seconds and get it out if it's there for an hour.
Well, I think the new ones now, they say 30 minutes for up to 3 meters. But the older ones, are very short periods.
Yeah. Steve, so how does this works do? How did it works do? How is a jacuzzi involved in a works do? Steve does videos. Is that one of those kind of videos? One of the clients you have, one of those, you know. I'm not surprised you went to that works do.
The problem is, I don't actually remember because at what point.
You don't remember what works do it was?
No, I remember it was works do. Well, it wasn't a works do, it was someone from work who had a house party and he had a hot tub. And I think I just got. It's a little bit vague what happened, but I'm not sure why I got in the hot tub fully clothed.
Steve. Alcohol, full stop. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why. That's the only reason you need, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. Okay. Let's check it. By the way, worth looking at. I mean, always, I think, you know, if you're an investor, private investor, you should always have at the backbone, I think, of your portfolio, the puff there, the backbone of your puff, you should have a couple of funds, you know? I say that now because we are coming up to the next ex-dividend date. It will be on the 12th, 13th for IUKD's BlackRock sort of high dividend paying fund. It's like, you know, all the big companies with the highest dividends, as well as 60 companies involved in it. They spread the risk across and it pays about sort of 6.5%. So if you want to get into that, they pay it quarterly. Of course, it may dip a little But they quarterly, so I suppose what's that? About 1.5 and 3/4% per dollar. Mm. So if you want to get into that, and reinvesting dividends is one of the most powerful returns you can get in the stock market over a long term. So it's always good to have funds, I think, as a backbone, and then maybe, you know, individual equities as well. But I discovered this week Vanguard do quite a high dividend fund, and they're so much more cheaper. Vanguard, of course, Jack Bogle, the inventor of Vanguard, he was the pioneer of this low-cost funds, index funds that needed no management, and so the low-cost. So basically, I always say look for something ongoing cost below 0.5%, anything above that, and it really takes off the top line of the performance. But so IUKD is about 0.4%, so it's less than half, 0.5%. Vanguard's dividend is 0.14%, which is like...
Dividend?
Yeah, dividend-paying index fund is 0.14%, not the yield, the cost. So the cost, the charges. So, you know, anything above 1% is quite expensive, or 1.5% because it's actively managed, but these are index. But that's 0.14%, that's nothing. So yeah, I've started...
The fee is bad.
The fee, yes. So I always say, look at the fees. So I've started... And you can do monthly recurring payments into these funds, you know. So I've got now three funds that I pay in monthly, because it's the best way to average down, you know. Dollar cost averaging or average.
Yeah, do you do that regardless of the price? So you literally
diarize that,
just bang it in every month.
Yeah, no. So the I'm with Barclays Stockbrokers, and you can set up a regular. And I think you can with all funds. I think most stockbrokers do that. Yeah. So I basically every month, pretty much a week before dividend payments come out on the UK IUKD, the Vanguard one pays it semi annually, so it's May and November. But I make sure it goes in before that next dividend year. So every month. And I'll do that for years, hopefully, if I've got money in there. Keep going for years and years and years. That way, even stock market goes down, you're averaging down. You can pay dividends, which are reinvested. Those average down as well. So hopefully, you'll get some nice capital upside and some dividend action, you know, divvy action.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't fault a bit of divvy action.
Love it.
So the Vanguard you're talking about, you messaged us in our WhatsApp group in the week. Is that the same one that you recommended?
No, so it's two different ones. I've got three funds. I've got Vanguard 100% equity, which is investing in equity around the world, UK, America, everywhere. It's less, that's more of a capital upside, you know, fund. So I pay that monthly. But it is a bit of a dividend on that. It's about 1.8%, I think, the yield a year. It's not a lot, but it's better than banks. But obviously, you're going for capital upside with that one. I also do the BlackRock IUKD dividend. But also, I'm just starting with this other one now because it's lower cost. And I may even swap. I don't know whether it depends. I may even swap out from IUKD into the Vanguard dividend one because it's just the costs are less. It's like a third less. What is it? Steve, do the math on this one. It'd be good for you. What's 0.4, right? Divided by 0.14.
Well, I'm going to try and work that out. I have no idea.
Try and work that out. Let's have a look. 1.4.
What divided by 0.14?
Yeah, it's 2.85 cheaper. So
It was on the tip of my tongue, but that's kind of.
I hate to think what's on the tip of your tongue, Steve. Some of the parties you've been to of late. Cool. Dreadful. Mm. So three funds there. What funds are you in then? What funds do you hold?
I'm just in the Vanguard you originally recommended, which doesn't seem to have done well since I put money in. It just seems to have sat there doing nothing.
Are you paying them regularly?
No.
Well, get that regular payment. That's the whole point. Regular.
I don't have regular cash that I can just.
But just sell some stock. You've got some risky stock to sell, but only a small amount. Not a big chunk every month. But you know, you're talking about it. You know, we're talking about it. You know, that's a pension fund. That you're talking about a 20-year, you know, 15-20-year horizon. You know, so a tiny little bit over that amount. You know, every month.
Yeah. Stop going to these boozy parties, putting the money into a safe dividend-paying fund.
Exactly, Steve. What's more fun than that? A regular payment in your dividend fund or a jacuzzi party.
So.
Oh, didn't you?
Oh, you won't get invited back then.
I just went there without anything, just drank everyone else's drink and ended up in the jacuzzi. That's Steve for you. We won't invite him next week, next year, next week.
Wow. Who was that guy?
Yeah, who was that guy who came along and didn't drink, just drank all our drink and just ended up in the jacuzzi with his iPhone? It was Steve. We hired him once for a video thing.
I didn't even invite him to the party. He just turned up.
Lovely. Go on.
Sure. I'm just in IUKD, and I've been thinking I'd need to get put a little bit more in ahead of the dividend date next week.
But I'd go for the Capital one as well. The Vanguard 100% equity or is one today as well. Target Pension Target Fund. Those are very good. And they swap as you get closer to your retirement date. They change the mix between equity and bonds. Bonds are safer, of course. And so at the moment, I think if your pension retirement is where yours is, it'll start off with about 80% equity, 20% bonds. And then every 5 years, I think it moves down. So it'll go like then 70% equity, 30% bonds. Then it'll.
What are you at, 10% equity?
I'm 100% equity, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm young. I don't retire for years yet.
And when's the Vanguard's ex-divi date?
It's in May, 6 months. But I mean, I want to put in, you know, 6 months worth of contributions before I get there, you know? So, I tell you what, the market's been selling off recently, isn't it? Really hard work. I mean, we had a little rally like a couple of weeks ago, and now it's just selling off again. It's just so annoying, I find it. And this will be the last podcast I think we do, only for this year. Not this year. Because I'm going for a holiday, I think. I don't think, I know. I just, it's not a last minute thing. It's been booked in advance. But I mean, I'm glad. Because I don't know, I think it's the worry about the hung parliament, you know? The hung like a horse parliament. And I think, you know, people don't want that happening. Which way do you think this is going? Pete, don't vote for hung parliament, please. Let's just move this on, shall we?
Well, no. But what's the alternative?
Well, what the alternative? What do you mean, what's the alternative? Exactly. More arguing in the House of Commons.
I know, but if it's, like I said last week, if it, you know, good things are hard to achieve. Anything worth achieving is probably very hard work. So I don't want a hung parliament, but
it's been hard work. Oh, well, it's 3 years of hard work.
If it takes another 3 years, so be it, unfortunately. I don't want that, but it's...
Who are you going to vote for then? The Greens? SNP?
I live in a constituency with a 60% Tory majority, so my vote will be swallowed up probably and have no...
Are you going to vote for Labour?
No, absolutely not.
I'm glad of that anyway, so you're not that as evil. Who are you going to vote for then? What, are you going to vote for Lib Dems? Stop Brexit, is that what you do?
That's a gentleman's prerogative. It's,
I was going to say, yeah, you don't have to say that.
Don't be scared to say you're voting for. Who are you going to vote for? Be open about it. What are you worried about? Just say you vote.
I think the complete opposite. People keep your political views to yourself. It's your own right to vote. Yeah. It's your own thing.
Why keep... People should never keep political views themselves. Otherwise, you know, you may not learn something. Did you know this morning that Jeremy Corbyn apparently is going to change the vote now? So, is it apparently... You know, we're recording this on Friday. So, it's the head-to-head debate tonight. Jeremy Corbyn versus Boris on BBC One at 8:30, okay? And apparently Boris is going to challenge him, and Labour he sent a letter to Corbyn saying, you're going to change the referendum to include all EU people. So, not British nationals, people who work over here. So obviously, they'll vote for Remain, you know? And they haven't replied yet. So, and what's going to happen? I mean, you know, Labour's going to be up in arms about that. They're going to hang on and say, what? Why are people trying to avoid? You know, I mean, if we put in a rule where, you know, minimum 60% for a referendum, maybe, I understand, but it wasn't. And the rule is 52% is a majority. So you can understand, can't you? I mean, you know, even if you're Remainer, you must be able to understand that why Labour's are annoyed that this is not happening, you know, and you know, and yet now Corbyn's going to try and change that to make sure the next referendum is a surefire Remain by getting EU nationals involved in it, you know, who are citizens of the UK or have been for the last 5 years, mate. And that is a manipulation of the figures. So it's quite annoying now.
Yeah, but it's just another part of the mess, isn't it?
Well, exactly. That's why we don't need to go back to that. That's what I'm saying. Try and vote for you.
No. But then it's you want it your way. Other people want it their way. It's just...
I genuinely... If someone said tomorrow now, we can just stop this, and it's going to be this is the vote for this party, I'd vote for them. I don't care who it is. I got a problem with voting for Corbyn because I think he'd wreck the economy.
Well, so that's what I was... Yeah, like when you say, are you going to vote Labour? No, I'm not in this instance because of Corbyn and their leadership. Likewise, I'm not voting Tory because of their leadership and their cabinet and their direction they're going in. So I'm pretty much politically agnostic normally. You know, I will vote for the party that in the current state of affairs is offering the better solution. And at this stage, neither of the two main parties are doing that.
No, Nidra, I hate. They all lie. I hate that. The fact they all lie. I mean, we see them lying. When you see them, you know, on a debate, and leaders debate, it's not cutting through. That's because they're lying. You know, you can feel when someone's telling the truth. It cuts through. You know, even when they say something that people's not popular, but it's the truth. And do you know what? A lot of the time, I know you hate, probably a lot of people hate Nigel Farage, but he's not scared to be hated and say something that he believes in. You know, now a lot of these party leaders,
well, he also lies. But
you know, yeah, okay. He does lie. Yes, but I mean, but a lot of these party leaders will just say something they hope is popular. You know, which is annoying. And we think, stop saying that. You're both lying. Stop it. You know, it's really annoying.
Have you seen the Andrew Neil monologue about Boris?
Yeah.
I mean, brilliantly put, erases all the issues that need to be aired that Boris is running away from because he's lied and he can't face up to someone like Andrew Neil. I mean, I love that final line. He goes, you know, he's got to face up to Trump and Putin and whatever, and he's not going to even spend 30 minutes talking to me. And you're like, yeah, absolutely. What an absolute arse.
Well, no, I said that. You know why he's doing that, though. I mean, let's be honest. He should front up. When you're in the lead, you know, and you think, well, it's mine to lose, and why go on, in front of an excellent political interrogator who will take you apart and knock your poll rating down and maybe lose some votes? So it's like the ultimate end game here is to win the election. Now, if that's going to upset that, then you're going to try and avoid it. Some people will say it's cowardice. Some people say, well, it's playing the game. You know, you're playing a hard game. It's, anyway.
Yeah, but can I also make the point that the people that actually would sit down and watch that debate... are probably, their minds are probably made up already. More damage is probably done by the Andrew Neil monologue now being spread and people seeing that going, oh, right, oh, he's not going on there, oh, you know, and seeing, having a reaction to that. These people, that they wouldn't probably even watch the thing. If Boris actually went on it, they wouldn't even bother watching it.
Yeah, I think he should do it because Andrew Neil gave him the questions there, didn't he? He's like, on that thing, he gave all the questions. Oh, right. And Boris, oh, right, the question, I'm right, the answer, right, the answer,
right, the answer, right, the answer,
that'd be perfect.
We cannot have him as leader of our country. We cannot have Corbyn as leader of our country.
No.
There isn't a better alternative, but that's why hung Parliament is.
No, I don't think, I said, it's a lesser of two evils. And in my mind, practically, I think Boris is less two evils here. He'd be more for business. He won't damage people. Corbyn and McDonald's, you know, are just against anything to do with profit. Anyone who makes money, all that kind of stuff, they won't take it off. You know, I think that is the politics of just of jealousy. And it's of course, a lot needs to be done there. There shouldn't be food banks in our country. It shouldn't happen. You know, it shouldn't be there. They need to be eradicated. Poverty and homelessness need to be sorted. The NHS needs to be invested into, of course, you know, and crime, all that. But you don't punish the wealth creators to do that, because that will punish everyone. Everyone it will punish. And they don't see that. They think that, oh, we want to create a socialist state where the government has more. Have a look at any country where the government's been involved in business, massively expanded, like any socialist government. And investors have flown away, have left, wealth creators have left, international investors have left, and generally the only people that do well at that is a socialist government themselves. So it never works. And I don't understand why they don't say it. And even nationalisation, it never worked. If you go back when, you know, the companies were national, like, you know, British Coal, British Gas, BT, when they're all national, they were dreadful. They were really, because they didn't have any competition. They didn't have to be any good. They were the worst ever. They were inefficient. They were overspending. They were dreadful companies. And yet they want to go back to that. And yet he's going to nationalise it, not by borrowing, but government bonds. That's not borrowing. No, it's government bonds. It's magic money. It's not borrowing. No, not borrowing. We talk about Jeremy. To me, that's a deal breaker there. If you don't know what government bonds are, but that's just, there's a central theme is nationalisation, and you know how you're going to get the money, but government bonds is magic money, surely his credibility is shot on that, on his own, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, let's. I'm gonna hope to do a weekend video. I haven't done a video for a while, just because the markets are dying. I can't be bothered, really. It's like, you know, whistling in the wind, pretty much.
Have you sold much recently?
No, I've not. Do you know what? I've had a go. You know, I've been sitting on cash. I've been topping up on some. I've been topping up on Open Orphan. I've been topping up a little bit on Expedia because I like the company where it's going. I think it's going to go do well. It's got a dividend as well. What else have I been doing? Another company I've told you about, and I've said to people, I'll tell you about if you donate to the charity, the little Maddie's Butterflies charity, and need to keep that caravan for families with children with cancer. I've been topping up on that. I really like it. The more I read about it, the more I like it. I do a video on that this weekend, hopefully, and cover why I like it. But it's sub 10 million market cap. It's got revenue in excess of 80 million. It's a turnaround story. Yeah. I like where it's going, it's where it's headed. I think it's... Look at that. Look at any company you know, right? Any company in your portfolio, if you listen to this podcast right now, look at any company you think is a bargain right now, or you think is going to do well, right? Look at the valuation of it, the market cap, and then look how much is turnover, how much profit is making. Does it compare with a sub 10 million market cap with cash, I think about 5, 6 million, I think it was, but it's turning over 80 million plus. That, to me, and now yeah. in my mind, when you do, and I always use this sort of metric, it's very easy to work out. So if you want to value a company, this is how you do it. This is how I do it, basically, right? I start from here. Maybe the margins may change, of course, but I look at the revenue of a company, then I say, okay, let's look at a 10% margin, that's net margin, so that means off 80 million, they'd be earning 8 million in profit. Then you get a price earnings ratio of a PE 10. So that's quite conservative. You know, your growth companies can be valued. You know, certain companies like ASOS and all that were valued 100. You know, PE of 100. Now 10 is quite reasonable. It's fine. Growth companies can be go up to 20, 30, 40, but 10 is quite conservative. So what you do is get that 8 million profit, which is 10% of the revenue, and then you put on a PE of 10 that goes back to 80 million. So it should be valued 80 million, right? Okay, so let's say this company, I know their margins are, they've got a legacy business, their margins are now improving, but they're hoping to get a decent margin. Now, even if you say their margin is, say, 80 million and their margin is 5%, that'd be half of that, right? So it'd be worth 40 million. So even half of that again, say 2.5%, that should be 20 million. So even with a margin of 2.5%, which is not a lot, it's a very thin margin. That's like, that's like supermarkets, you know, margins pretty much.
Wafer thin.
Yeah, they should be valued at 20 million. That's more than a bag from here alone. But where they're going, and they're a tech company, they're heading into sort of data and stuff. Where they're going, I believe their margins will be above that. So I believe they're way undervalued. The new CEO has come in. He's turned it around. Already is showing results. The last three releases they've announced that it's going well. The transformation and the turnaround is happening. They're focusing on higher margin business and doing away with legacy lower margin business. And they've said that three times now. And I think it's doing very well. So I'll be highlighting that in a video. But I think genuinely, I don't know many companies at all that are turning over that amount of money and are valued that lowly. You know, so I like it a lot to be accumulating that. I think it'll do well. And like I said,
what's your cash position currently, percentage wise?
I've upped my holdings in. I bought some more funds. Like I said, so my cash position is around about 30%.
Yeah, I'm about the same.
30% cash, because it's got to the stage where I think, you know, I've been looking at that. So at one point, I did have like, you know, 50-odd% cash. And there's no point having that much cash. You've got to put it to work somewhere, you know? It's redundant. And in fact, inflation means it's less than redundant. So you've got to have it, you've got to put it to work somewhere. And so, you know, even if it up my holdings of funds. So I'm always looking to work that cash, baby. Work that money.
To what extent do you reckon, like, the election is now priced in a bit into, like, because we have to...
It's not at all. I genuinely see, I think if Conservatives get a majority, we will rally like crazy. Already, sterling has hit against dollar, has hit a seven-month high because polls are pointing towards the chance of a Conservative majority. Now, if we do get a Conservative majority, we'll have a cracking Santa rally. Cracking! So if you're an investor and you think, I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote. If you think, I'm not going to vote, can't be bothered. If you're an investor and you hold a large chunk of your money in stocks and you want to see a rally, vote.
Yeah.
Don't. No. All I'm saying is don't vote for hung parliament. No. If you vote for SNP or if you vote for SDP, Liberal Democrats or the Greens, I understand if you normally vote for that. I'm not going to say Labour Conservative. If you normally vote for Conservatives, sorry, the Greens or the Liberal Democrats, that's a waste of vote, pretty much. Well, it depends which way the country you're in. But
it depends your constituency. If you're a marginal seat, or if you're actually a Liberal Democrat seat or a Greens, is there a Greens seat? Yeah, they've got a couple of seats, haven't they? Or the other thing, yes, so that's what your point of view is, absolutely a very short-term view.
If you were talking about, if you just Google hedge fund managers cash, right, cash holders, you'll see that a lot of them are sitting on historically high amounts of cash. A lot of that in the UK as well, right? Now, once that money starts piling in, it'll have it, you know, and prices start moving. People chase prices. More money will go in. So it won't be a short term thing. More investment will happen. Business will get more confident. They'll hire more people. And do you know what? The economy will take an upturn. And there's a lot of money waiting on the sidelines to go in. Even the government. No, listen, Boris is a liar. So is Corbyn. But they've planned to spend money rather than now carry on with austerity.
What I'm talking about is the bigger picture. I know the economy is huge and it's a massive part of
it. No, the government's going to spend. I mean,
but other elements to do with the direction of this country is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Corbyn's going to spend amount that will crash the economy, but Boris is going to spend an amount that will help the economy, hopefully. He said that. Of course, he's a liar. Of course,
everyone has to vote how they want to vote. And
no, they don't. They have to vote.
But everyone should vote how Justin says.
Don't vote for hung parliament. What a waste of time that is.
No, vote for hung parliament.
Yeah. What party is that? Steve's looking at this thing. What party is that then? Hung parliament.
Where is this hung tick box I can't find?
Go to the people at the desk. Sorry, I've been looking at the form, but I can't see hung parliament.
Do you understand people who go in and spoil their ballot papers? I don't understand that. Do you?
Yes, that's wrong as well, isn't it? Yes.
Well, no, because that's doing what you say. They go in there, people spoil their ballot papers. So they
take I say at all.
No, it is. They believe there's no one out there that represents them. So that's why they do it, essentially. They're so disgusted by, you know, the way politics are. So they are you know, marking their sort of protestation as to what's going on there. They're unhappy with the state of politics.
So that's the wrong approach because... You know,
it's not a dirty protest.
Fight two world wars to then just go and, you know, scribble on ballot papers. You need to exercise democratic right and pick box that you feel best represents what you want to happen.
So what they do, Steve, is someone gets dressed, gets ready, you know, gets a scarf on, coat, scarf, hats, you know, wash their face, brush their teeth, their hair. Walks down to the polling station, say, "Hello, I'm so-and-so from this street, Mr. Fanny Adams from 3 Up Your Avenue." And they say, "Oh, there's your ballot paper there, take it into the box. Thank you very much, take a pencil there." And they just go in the booth and just scribble all over it. And then just folds it up and puts it in the box. And say, you know, just to say, "I'm not voting for anyone." What's the point of that? The people do that. There's a lot of people do that. And
the people counting them don't care, do they? That just goes in the bin, doesn't it? It's like,
it's the point, isn't it? Because then the turnout...
It's marked down as a spoiled ballot. So it shows that people are disenfranchised or apathetic. Oh, right, you know, okay. They don't like what's going on
Don't do that. You know, vote for the monster raving loony party or whatever. You know, vote for someone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't do that. It's my opinion. Anyway, there we are. Yeah. Right, good stuff.
All right. And that's it. And have you bought any of that stock I talked about just then, Steve? That one that's a secretive stock? The secret squirrel stock?
I'm not 100% sure which one you're talking about, if I'm honest.
What? is it serious?
Yeah. Okay. Have you been talking about it? I've not been that engaged with social this week, to be honest.
But I sent you on WhatsApp, didn't I?
I've been busy this week. I've not really been.
It wasn't this week.
It was
on the 21st of the 25th. Sorry, of the 11th. I sent you an individual text on WAP, as you say.
WAP. And it's an individual message.
Individual one, Steve. Yeah. It's there, in green. Green background. Right. That's mine.
No. You didn't send me.
Is yours green background? You sent it to me. Mine's green when I sent it to you, so yours is green. It flips that, isn't it? It's a good little bit of code, that, isn't it?
Are you still recording this?
I'm just mumbling. That's kind of thing. Chris Moyles talks about nonsense on the, you know, it's just really trivial nonsense, apart from investing. So that's it, boys. Anything else to chat about apart from that? So, how's your portfolio? Have you learned any lessons this year? We may not do them before the end of the year. Have you learned any lessons? If you have, what have you learned? I've got to say, I'm looking at my portfolio. Luckily, down to Expedia, I think, it's a nice recovery towards the end. I'm up about 100% this year, which is quite nice on my portfolio.
On Expedia?
No, on my portfolio. And I think down largely to Bidstack and Expediator. But I think those two are majorly. But I'm hoping this one as well I've invested into will come strong because I think there's news out. If you read the last RNS, you will see a date in there. Where there's been news out before the end of the year. So hopefully it'll be on people's radars. I'll do a video this weekend on it. Hopefully if I don't, then, you know, give a tenner to that charity and I'll let you know what it is. But if I do, I do. Any lessons, Peter, you've learned this year, Steve?
I don't know if I have learned this year. It's sort of like...
You haven't learned any lessons this year at all?
I don't know about learning lessons, but I've been better at not diving in on stocks.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've not done this year. I've literally held back, missed out on one or two, but
yeah.
Majority, I've not made any mistakes this year, which I regret doing, which I probably did in 2018.
So that's from learnings from previous years, isn't it? Rather than learning this year, maybe, I think. I'm not sure I've learned, I don't know, this year. I'll have a think.
You learn something new every day, don't you, really?
Not to do with stocks and shares, but yeah.
Well, I always do. I mean, it's amazing when I look at what I looked at this time last year, at the start of this year, I did a video on top 10 stocks I think is going to do well this year. And I look at some of those stocks and I think, I would never actually invest in those now, some of those, you know? Yeah. Really, dogs that I wouldn't touch. Mm. Now I think I'm aiming towards a more long-term, you know, companies that, you know, will sustain, generate value for over a long period of time rather than just, you know, pop and drop. You know, like Lorry's oil and gas resource stocks just pop and drop because they're pre-revenue and they need money, they need funding, you know. So I don't want pop and drop, I want sustainable growth, you know. And that's what I'm heading towards. And that's why I'm betting better stocks I'm talking to now will be good for like 5-10 years rather than sell quick, you know, because most of Twitter, they just trade it. Most of Twitter on traders, they're looking for the next sort of pop, you know, and that's it. And then it'll drop after that. I don't want that, do you? I want to invest in a business that will create value over the long term. Multiples of where we are from today, you know?
But that, would you say you've learned that this year, or is that just something you've evolved?
I've evolved, yes, but I've gone more towards that now. I now hold no pop and drop. There's a couple of companies in there still I hold that they're not cash generative or that generate cash, but they're getting towards that. But even those, I'm looking to weedle out now. I think I want companies that can justify their valuation on their cash flows, you know, and all that stuff. And or if they turn around, they will be able to very soon, you know. That's why. I understand. I may miss those big rallies that you get, those aggressive rallies you get on a bit of news from a resource oil and gas stock. But I'm happy to avoid that because they generally, you know, invariably come back down within the next couple of weeks anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What are you doing for Christmas, boys? Anything for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas, boys?
Just family stuff.
Family stuff. I'm trying to think what that is. knowing your family, Steve, knowing you. Keep it clean.
Yeah.
Twister and all that stuff, you know. And Peter, you, family stuff again?
That's it, family stuff, yeah.
Same kind of family stuff that Steve's doing?
No, probably different to Steve's family stuff.
Mm. Are you in Wales or are you in England?
I'm in England for Christmas, and then I'm going to come to Wales, actually, around the New Year time.
All right, well, maybe we should meet up, guys. You never know.
We should.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, if I don't see you before, have a nice Christmas. And,
absolutely.
You know, eat lots, and then we'll see yourselves after that. It's only the 6th, but I mean, you know, it's 3 weeks away. It's close enough. You know, we shouldn't have to talk now for 3 weeks. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank God.
Happy Christmas.
And good luck with that. Good luck with the election and the Santa rally.
Yeah. Don't vote for Hank Pollen, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't vote for Hank Pollen. If you want, you know, value creation in business and stocks and shares, don't vote for Hank Pollen. I can't handle another 3 years of arguing over Brexit. God, my word.
Yeah. Let's do that. It's better.
Anyway.
Okay. Not to speak next week. We're after next week. Not even that week. The week after, that's the week. Week. Good night. Good night.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.